Welcome to Siemens Innovation in the Classroom podcast series. I'm your host, Dora Smith. Listen to hear some of the brightest minds in engineering education share insights and best practices to empower the next generation of digital talent. In this podcast, Hannah Straub interviews two co-op students. Hear how these future engineers leverage real-world application at Siemens to improve their education experience and opportunities after graduation.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to our podcast. I'm Hannah Straub, and I'll be your host today. And today I'm joined by Greg Barker and Chase Ashby, who are undergraduate software engineering students interning. Well, one of you is interning right now. One of you is still in school. Well, not still in school, but in school about to co-op again, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves and just a little bit about what you're doing here?
My name is Chase Ashby, and I'm a third-year computer science student at the University of Cincinnati. I'm originally from Florida, and I'm here because I love developing software.
Hello, I'm Greg Barker. I am a third-year engineering student at UC also, and I'm part of the LCS department. At least I was in the fall. Hope to be here this up-and-coming fall. And then I love being here because I love problem solving in general. And, you know, Siemens is a pretty good company to be at.
Why did you guys decide to pursue a degree in engineering, or like when did you know you wanted to be an engineer?
So I first realized I was interested in engineering whenever I had a coding class in high school. I just really loved the problem solving aspect, working on a problem for a while and then finally figuring out how to solve it and seeing something that I worked on like work and become useful for someone. And I knew that's what I wanted to do. So that's how I kind of got into computer science.
Similar to Chase, in high school, I was actually fortunate enough to be offered many engineering classes, such as like civil engineering and architecture.
In high school?
Yeah, in high school.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Bellbrook High School.
Okay.
It's actually a small school near Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
It's about 222 kids in my graduating class. Yeah, so I was offered lots of engineering classes and realized I really enjoyed the problem-solving aspect and being able to, you know, build something from nothing. And then around my sophomore year of high school, I actually got more into some computer science classes that were offered. And it was a very new program at my school, learning Java and just the basics of coding. And I really enjoyed that class. I had one of my favorite teachers I've ever had. So he helped me steer towards computer science and computer engineering. So that's where I found my love for coding.
And how did you guys choose that you wanted to go to UC? Was it because of the engineering program or?
I chose because I saw their co-op program as a very unique, great opportunity to be able to get real world experience, because I don't think there's anything that beats that. You can learn a lot in classes, but if you aren't applying it and seeing how you will apply it, you know, it becomes, I don't want to say redundant, but it becomes monotonous, you know, the same going to class, not seeing how you apply it until after college. But at UC, you're able to apply it while going to classes every other semester, or even there's some possibilities to while you're interning and going to classes at the same time. So I saw that opportunity and I chose UC right away.
Yeah, just kind of reiterating what Greg said, UC is one of the only colleges in the United States where you can graduate with 2.5 years of work experience. And the co-op, actually, usually you make enough money to pay for your college. So you can graduate debt-free with 2.5 years of college experience, which is worth a lot more. And then also you get to work in your field. So you actually know if this is something you want to do for the rest of your life before you actually graduate, as opposed to, you know, you've taken classes for 4 years and then you go and actually get to work in your field and you could realize, you know, maybe it's not what you thought or you're actually not super interested in it. So this, we actually get to, you know, confirm that this is something that we're passionate about before we graduate.
And you, Chase, are currently in a co-op. You're about to end it, obviously.
Technically, I'm about to end, but I'm staying on part-time over the next semester, so I'll still be here.
Okay, and then is this your first rotation or is it your second?
This is my second rotation.
And then Greg, you are currently in classes and you're about to start co-oping again.
Yes, I just wrapped up actually classes. Didn't do too bad on my exams, thankfully.
Oh. Awesome.
Helped my GPA out a little bit. But yeah, and then I come back on. I believe it's the 26th they've asked me back. So, and I will be working here the fall and then up until around Christmas time.
Okay, that's awesome. Can either of you kind of touch on a day in the life of being an intern, especially in your fields, and kind of what your team does? You can talk to your current or your first rotation.
So for my first rotation here, a typical day would consist of, like, you'd show up around 7 or 8 a.m. You'd go log in, check your emails, see if you got any contacts from your team, respond to those, and then you would just go to working. I was doing software development, working on a centralized logging solution. So I would just, you know, work on my own tasks for the first about 3 hours of the day. And then 3 hours into the day, you would have what's known as a stand-up meeting with your team. And your entire team would go meet in a room. And you would go around the room and answer. There's three questions. It's, what have you been working on? What are you going to be working on? And what are your hindrances? So you would tell them what you've been doing, what you're going to be doing. And if you had any issues, you would tell them about that. And then your team would do the best to help you solve those problems afterwards. And then usually after that, you know, you'd take a quick break for lunch, hang out with your fellow co-ops, play some ping pong, whatever.
That's always fun.
And then you would head back to work and, you know, work for a few more hours and then go home. It's a pretty well-balanced day. You get a good amount of socializing with a good amount of work, and then you get a lot of exposure with your team, and they make you feel like you're another full-time employee. They don't treat you like an intern at all, and it's just a really nice environment.
I've noticed they do that at Siemens. There's the cliche term as lowly intern is just completely non-existent here, which I love.
I definitely want to touch up on that because I had similar experience because they don't give you just intern work, quote unquote. They give you things that they're actually working on, things that can benefit the team and progress what they're working on forward. So, you know, you don't get just these tiny little projects that won't really help Siemens as a company as a whole. But instead, you get these very beneficial for you and for the company. So it's a really good mutual benefit that you get there. And my favorite part of Siemens is probably the aspect where you're allowed to ask anyone questions. I've made friends who weren't even on my team, and I would just be like, so I'm struggling with this aspect. Can you tell me how I can improve upon it? Or, you know, it's very helpful. And especially for me, my manager was actually up in Michigan. So I saw him, fortunately, I think twice over my co-op. He came down for a summit, and then he was here just another random time checking up on his team. But since I couldn't directly ask him questions in person, you know, I still could over Skype. I had lots of other people who were willing to help.
I actually have a similar experience because none of my team is here in this office. And so I got to meet my manager one time as well. She flew me up to St. Louis because she was supposed to come here. And it was awesome because these co-ops that I work with on the fourth floor up here all have their almost entire teams with them. And so they're always collaborating and having stand-up meetings like that. Almost, is that every day that happens?
So this semester, it's not an everyday thing. But last semester, yes, it was daily.
Okay. Because that's just something that I feel like would keep me more on task. But obviously, because of my manager not being here, it has forced me to take initiative on my own and really figure out problems myself and learning how I can respond to those. So that's interesting that your manager wasn't here either. So you both are software engineering interns, co-ops, and you obviously work with a lot of software every day. Did you have any previous experience with Siemens software before the internship in classroom settings or exposure to the company before you came here?
I actually am a computer engineer, so I deal even less with software specifically. And I had zero interaction with Siemens software before I came here, but I wouldn't say it's not a do-all, die-all if you don't have it, you know. You're able to quickly adapt to the software that they have because they train you really well. And I work more personally with coding the software. You know, I don't work specifically with NX, but I work with coding the front end, or I did a lot with the website itself when I was co-oping.
So it was kind of easy to get taken up to speed with the software?
For sure, for sure. It was really, really quick, I'd say. I learned way more here than I did at school,
yeah,
to say the least, because I was able to touch with JavaScript, I was able to HTML, CSS, all these coding languages where, you know, at UC right now they're just teaching C++. And so the difference was phenomenal. And I even worked with Java here, which if I hadn't done that in high school, I wouldn't have worked with that either. So wow. It's just getting a wide array of tools here versus, you know, doing one singular thing at whatever college class you do. I'm sure there's some out there for CS more that teach other languages. But for now, for computer engineering, it's mostly just C++.
In computer science, you don't really get taught anything about Siemens software specifically. Computer scientists and software developers, they make the software, but they don't actually really utilize any of the software. We have one software in particular called Polarian that we do use for task delegation. But for the most part, we make the software that mechanicals and biomedical engineers use. So like we make 3D modeling software, source control software for real world 3D models. So as a computer scientist, no, I never was actually exposed to their software, but I had a lot of friends who are mechanical and biomedical who had used their software in the past. So I was vaguely familiar with the product. But luckily, that's not really a prerequisite to work here. Mm-hmm. They just want you to know that you're willing to learn.
This is just a topic with me and my manager all the time about the fact that there's software offered in all these engineering programs, but you know, computer science and computer engineering are both super important parts, obviously, with coding and stuff like that. Do you think that it would be beneficial for people to be using the software early on in classrooms?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, currently, one of the things that we're working on in the Ambassador program is a way to get Siemens software more integrated into the curriculums for all the engineering students at UC.
Wow.
So we're, you know, approaching professors being like, we're just like offering them basically our entire booklet of software and just being like, see anything that you think would benefit your students. And we're doing that in hopes that we can, you know, have people graduating from college knowing Siemens software, and that way Siemens can become more of the industry standard.
Awesome. And so how do you think is the biggest way that you apply what you learn at school in the workplace today?
Just coming off of a rotation at school, after going co-op to school and now I'm going back to co-op, I think the biggest impact that co-op had on me was while I was at school, I was trying to look for ways that I could use this on my next co-op, or, you know, giving me reasons behind what I'm learning. Because before that, you know, I mean, granted, I was taking like general chemistry and stuff, so things that I wasn't too fond of versus my computer engineering classes. But still, when I was at school this past semester, I was able to see, you know, oh, I used this sort of method while I was at Siemens, or I used this coding practice while at Siemens. That's just an example.
Okay.
You apply more the process of software development than you do the actual technical things that they learn, that they teach you. So like, you don't necessarily apply C++, but you apply like the process of debugging, testing, and things like that. So it's not necessarily the actual technicals, but the concepts that you apply.
And then coming off of that, what's it like to develop software in general?
Frustrating, but fulfilling.
Short and sweet. And so what do you think are some of the benefits of, you know, industry companies like Siemens? And I don't know if you guys partner with any other software companies, but what do you think is the benefit of like Siemens partnering with schools like UC? And
so a lot of engineering companies use Siemens software. So if Siemens partners with UC, all these companies will know that people graduating from UC know Siemens software. Mm-hmm. And that makes us better candidates for being hired at a company that uses the software, because they know we already know the software.
Yeah, I'd say there's a benefit for everyone involved, honestly. So our customers get people who have already been familiarized with the software, so they are already more adept to work there, better, easier to integrate. The students, of course, they also get hired more often and even possibly at a higher pay because they know more than their peers coming in. For the company or for Siemens, then people are more enticed to use our software. So that helps our customers, it helps Siemens as a company, it helps the students, and it also helps the schools because it ups the numbers going into, or the numbers of straight hires, because, you know, you put that you've done NX on your resume. So then company who uses NX is like, well, I wouldn't have to teach them as much as another school who doesn't use that. So it's honestly just a mutual benefit for everyone involved.
And then I kind of wanted to touch on this when I asked you more about the what's it like to develop software question, but which program do you work mostly on? Because I believe I was asking you about Team Center, but I'm not sure if that's the only thing that you do or...
So last semester, I worked mainly on Team Center, which is our source control software for big engineering companies. But a lot of the co-ops that I worked with worked on InX, the CAD 3D modeling software. And then this semester, I'm actually working on something called SolutionLink, which is an internal marketing tool that our teams use whenever they want to go and sell our product to a company somewhere.
I actually mostly worked with a front-end web page that would just sort of take the information from Active Workspace in Team Center and show like bugs in it when we upload new builds. I didn't really work too much with the software itself, but more of how we could correct the software and sort of taking that information and making it readable for everyone else involved.
And then I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but I work with one of the members of my team. His name's Gil Morris. He works with UC grad students who are very familiar with the software because they work in the Siemens Simulation Technology Center in the engineering school. Are you familiar with that at all?
We've had a few meetings with Gil, so we're aware that that's happening, okay. But we don't have any specific experience or any connections with any of those people.
Okay. Just because I actually was recording a podcast a couple of days ago with one of those UC grad students who's developing an NX crash course for his students. And it was really interesting to talk to him about the curriculum behind dealing with a software like this and how complicated it is to teach people, especially at different learning levels and everything. And I just was kind of curious as one of the last questions I had for you about your training into figuring out what Team Center did and how to manipulate it and why it needed fixing and to figure out kind of how it works. Was that really difficult for you or was it more so something that made sense from the start?
So Team Center is a huge software. It's got a ton of functionality. So they don't necessarily try to, you know, make you drink through a fire hose and give you the whole rundown on everything. They really teach you the functionality that you're working on.
Okay.
So like I was working with centralized logging solution. So they taught me how the logging worked in Team Center. And then, you know, I've kind of picked up a few things on how other things in Team Center work, but mainly they teach you the specific thing that you're working on. And then, you know, you kind of build on it from there just through random experiences that you have throughout your semester.
Yeah, and I had probably an easier time. I just had to read from a file that already had all the bugs and stuff on it. So I was just reading the file in that someone already made for me. So even easier than that.
Because to me, at least with my, you know, 3-month experience at the company, I've kind of gathered that, you know, all of this software is complicated to understand. But, you know, Team Center is a whole nother ballgame in my eyes, just because of its breadth of information and how NX and Solid Edge and those more free student softwares that students are using, obviously, for more simulation and modeling. And so obviously, I mean, I don't know, would you say that Team Center would be able to have a crash course, or would it take like 3 years to develop? Or
it would take a long time, I think, to get a grasp over it all. But like you could probably do a pretty general idea of it. I mean,
I think it's something that could be taught in a semester. I don't know about it, like a crash course, but definitely it's something that, like, you know, you'd have to learn just by doing it. So you just have to spend like a few months just, you know, building things in Team Center to learn all the functionality, because it's an incredibly massive software.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. My last question for you guys today is, what advice or, you know, nuggets of wisdom do you happen to have for future or aspiring engineers, maybe looking to get a job somewhere in a software company or even to go to school for engineering? You know, what would your advice to them be if someone's trying to pursue something like this?
Very cliche, but ask questions. There's no such thing as a dumb question. And it shows people that you're that you have an interest in learning and that you're willing to learn.
I would honestly say go out there and see what you can teach yourself. Teaching yourself is a big part of the industry. Schools can do only so much in a semester. Like there's free online tutorials. There's go to YouTube. Even some companies post things that you can teach yourself. Yeah, and then there's also softwares you can familiarize yourself with. You know, we talked about NX today. Mendix is one that actually currently Chase and I are familiarizing ourselves with, because we want to be able to see how we can integrate it into the classroom. It's just a low code app building development software. So that's just an example that I have that we've been working on.
And then just to add to that, and things that you can do in your free time is always be working on some sort of side project. If you're like electrical, you know, you could be working with the robotics team to build something. And it's especially easy if you're like a computer scientist or something, because it's so easy to build, you know, a small app or something by yourself at home. And I know that's things that whenever you're talking to a recruiter and you say, well, I've been working on this app and I can show it to you, their eyes just light up. They love to hear stuff like that. So little side projects will greatly increase your value to a company. And it definitely could be the thing that puts you ahead of other candidates.
Do you have any comments about kind of the whole innovation sphere and the fact that without change and without adapting to the change, especially with the constantly changing technology, that that's something that students need to learn about and learn how to deal with firsthand before they go into the workforce?
So are you referring to just like how everything's there's constantly new things just
sort
coming
of
up?
A general, yeah.
Yeah, you have to just always be learning. Just if you don't want to have to constantly learn stuff, then you probably shouldn't be in engineering, because there's a new technology every day that you have to be willing to learn.
I'd say just be better than average. You know, average people go home and don't really do anything. They like to just be done with their day, you know. But if you're better than average, you're constantly learning. You're reading a book. You're, you know, just bettering yourself in some way or another. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, you just have to have a passion for what you're doing. If you have a passion for it, then you'll want to work on it. You'll want to know about it, like everything in the field, even when it's not related to what you're specifically doing. So having a passion for your work is really, I think, just the most important aspect.
Awesome. Well, that's so cool. And I also want to touch on the fact that as far as me, like I'm still discovering what that is. And I'm, you know, working at this company and I've learned so many new things about a subject that I never, ever thought I'd be working with, and how contributing to that, even through marketing and through social media, is still doing something for the greater good of society with technology. And that's what makes me excited to come to work every day. And that's what makes me excited to keep learning new things, because if you don't, then you aren't going to be able to change anything. So thank you so, so much for being on this podcast and for sharing all your wisdom and your experience. Do you guys have anything else to say before we sign off, or any parting words?
UC is better than Miami.
No, I just say continue to follow your passions, you know. Just make sure you're always looking forward. Keep your eyes up. Everything's good, you know.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, thank you guys so much for being on.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks, guys.